Well, happy Mother's Day, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. If you're with your mom, give her an extra hug right now. Yeah, moms love hugs. Moms really love hugs all the time. Yep, all the time. Especially when my kids are at the age they're at. Give me those hugs. I have to chase them down sometimes, but that's all right. They still hug me, so I'm grateful for that. Wow, God's presence is so real in this place this morning. I can really feel God's presence. I'm so grateful for that. Because when his presence comes in, everything else becomes small. Every need, every, you know, absence, it becomes small. So I'm grateful for his presence. Well, I asked Megan to come up and share just a couple of moments with you about her upcoming trip to California that we helped support a few weeks ago with a love offering. And so I just wanted her to update us on that.
Hey, guys. So sorry I was sick that Sunday. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I never get sick. Oh my gosh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow, am I blessed by you guys. I mean, you guys are a family, for real. Mm-hmm. And I'm just blown away, and wow, I'm just so blessed. And I pray, Lord, I pray the blessings flow back all across. And maybe anyone who's not here, Lord, just bless. Yeah. Blessings. Pour out blessings, Father. I'm so thankful. Thank you, Jesus. So just a little bit about Worship U. It's the Bethel School of Worship in Reading, and it's a two-week-long course. Classes are day and night, and I've been wanting to go for about 4 years, and I just knew that the time wasn't right every year, in January, I think it was, you did a message on what is your purpose, mm-hmm. or your dream, it was something mm-hmm. like that, and the Lord just spoke to me and confirmed again that my dream and my purpose personally is to always be in the presence of the Lord, mm-hmm. but to bring people with me,
yeah,
because it's life-changing. Mm-hmm. It is life-changing. It changes your life in a moment. I mean, there's no other way I can describe it. And so a few years ago, I was doing the course online. It's like a per-month subscription thing. And I've been doing it online. And when I first started a few years ago, I was like, oh, man, I really want to go. I want to be around all these people. They're so awesome. And I was really bummed that I wasn't going to be able to go. And, you know, then the Lord spoke to me again and was like, you know, you have those people around you. Hmm. And I was like, oh, I do. And he was like, yeah, your parents. They have just as much wisdom, mm-hmm. and they have it all. No, but they've been doing worship leading for mm-hmm. about 30 years, practically my whole life. Yeah. And growing up, I was always with them. I started on the worship team when I was 10, playing like two keys on the keyboard, and I just knew that that's what I knew a few years ago when the Lord told me that. He said, you're to follow in your daddy's footsteps. Mm. And so then this year, he was like, you're going. So to Worship U, out to Reading, and wasn't sure how it was going to happen. So I'm very, very, very thankful for all of you and all of your support financially. And I know you'll be praying for me.
Yep,
and
sure.
I can't wait to come back. I'm going to miss you guys when I'm gone. I really am. There's no place like home. So thank you guys so much. And if anybody wants to know any more about it, come talk to me.
Yeah.
I can talk
That's
about
good.
It.
That's good. Thank you, Megan. Yeah, give her a hand. That's good. We will do a corporate prayer over her before she leaves, the Sunday before she leaves. Roger's going to get to go with her and the kids. And so it's not a vacation, though. Don't think for one second it's going to be a vacation, because Roger's going to be Mr. Mom 24/7. And that is no vacation. If you have kids, you know that's no vacation. And like Megan said, she's going to be in class all day and night. So it's an intensive. They call it an intensive, a two-week intensive, because it's intense. But I know she's going to come back and bring a little deposit, maybe a big deposit with her. So I'm excited for that. So welcome to Oak River. I have a video I want to share with you today, just a quick video. I think it's like 4 minutes, but I think you'll like it.
Just give me 1 second. Thank
sure.
you. Sorry. Uh-huh. Hey. Hi. 2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about
hey,
that.
Hey, Oi.
Hi, nice Hi. To meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No.
Not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is gonna go up, and we demand that. With a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep, or?
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all encompassing almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is gonna pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono, completely for free.
No.
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
And they meet every requirement, don't
wow.
they?
Oh my God. Moms are the best.
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours, they're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So Mom, I wanna say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
I know, right? Give it up for the moms. Isn't that good? Brings a little tear to my eye. Yep. So happy Mother's Day. We do have a gift for our moms today. We just decided to simplify it this year and just go chocolate. Yeah. So So you come after the service is over and pick out your favorite bag of yummy chocolate. One per mom, please. One per mom present. If you want to take one to your neighbor, take yours and give it to your neighbor. We're all about generosity, but we only bought enough for the people in this room right now. So, and make sure somebody takes one to Heather and whoever's in Splash today, please make sure you do that. Because we love our moms and we are grateful for them. And who doesn't like chocolate, right? That's good stuff. It's good stuff, huh?
And we love you.
Oh, thanks. I love you too. Yep. So we're going to mix it up today. You know, normally I have the teacher thing going on and I really like my neat little outlines with blanks. But today I wanted to mix it up because I felt like I wanted to speak to you from my heart on a message that I'm calling My Space is Your Space. And really, I got to tell you, when I planned this message a couple of months back, well, maybe a month ago, whenever I send out the titles to the tech team, I had in mind to do a message all about my space being God's space, right? And God changed my mind this week. He said, no, I want it to be from me to them. My space is your space. So he's saying to us, my space is your space. And then he wanted me to speak from this chapter in Isaiah that's one of my favorite chapters of all time. Rhonda has been praying it over me for 9 years, right? In this one chapter, she prays this one chapter over me all the time. And so it's become really dear to my heart, but I learned some stuff about it this week, and so I can't wait to share. It's Isaiah 54. If you want to turn in your Bible, we will put the verses on the screen also, but I'm just going to read right from the Word today instead of my notebook like I normally do. And what I learned this week... Well, I knew before this week, Isaiah 53, the chapter before this, is all about the Messiah and the sufferings of the Messiah, right? It's all about the death of the Messiah. And I knew that, but I didn't realize that it goes right into 54 from the sufferings of the Messiah into chapter 54. So it's very interesting to me, and I did some research this week, and what I found is that at least some theologians believe that Isaiah 54 is a prophetic picture of what the church looks like, not a church worldwide, what the church looks like between the time of the death and resurrection of Jesus all the way up through the coming back of Jesus, the second coming. So that really changed the way I read this. And I understand, this is the space that God wanted me to talk about today, that he is saying, my space is your space. Now let me tell you what my space looks like. That's what he's saying, right? So keeping that in mind, in Isaiah 54, verse 1, he says, sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth. Now, some of you know this about me. I went through eight years of infertility. That's why my heart is always tenderized on Mother's Day for people who go through infertility, because I know the pain of Mother's Day when you want desperately to have a child and you don't have one. It's literally painful. But what I find interesting about this verse is that it says, sing, O childless woman, because in the context of the day that this was written, a woman who was barren was seen as not being blessed by God, that she had done something wrong that led to her infertility, that led to her barrenness. And so the last thing she would want to do would be to sing. And God says, okay, my space is yours. In my space, even if you've never had a child, you can sing. Sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth. Not only that, break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem. You have never been in labor. And you know what struck me about that? In God's space, you can have a birth without having labor. You can have a new birth without having labor. That's pretty awesome, because labor is not fun. Mother's Day, I mean, you just got to give props to all the moms who went through labor. It's not, you know what, I have new earrings on and I can tell. Can you just mute, whoop, I'll mute me, never mind. Bumping all the whole message, that would drive you crazy and me, right? You can have a birth without having labor in his space. I love that. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. Now that's a pretty amazing first verse to talk about God's space, but look at the second verse. Enlarge your house. Build an addition, spread out your home, and spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants, wait, you have no children, but you're going to have descendants, will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. And I felt like when I read that again, that God is saying in his space, and what the church looks like right now is that we are constantly expanding. I don't know if we recognize how many people get saved every single day across the globe. Don't believe the hype that the church is falling apart and going into disarray. There's no statistical evidence to support that whatsoever. The church, Christianity, is growing at a rapid pace. That's why God says, enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, and spare no expense. Because you're going to need every bit of the space you make. You're going to need it all. You will be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. And I believe that God is saying to his church through this, is that even if you look at any part of your life and it feels ruined, even if you look at any single part of your life and it feels ruined, God says, don't worry, I can rebuild that for you. There's nothing ruined beyond repair. I will rebuild it for you. Nothing is ruined, nothing. Verse 4, fear not. You will no longer live in shame. Some of you just need to take that phrase and make that your theme this week. Fear not, you will no longer live in shame. God has no desire to see his children live in shame. He came to set us free from shame. And we don't have to live in shame. Well, you don't know what happened when this... It doesn't matter. What did Rhonda say about your past today? Was it Rhonda who said something? Yeah. Your past is past. Look ahead. Look ahead. You don't have to live in shame anymore. Don't be afraid. There is no more disgrace for you. There is no more disgrace for you. You will no longer remember the shame of your youth or the sorrows of widowhood. For your creator will be your husband. The Lord of heaven's armies is his name. He is your redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth. It's almost like I can hear him saying, there's a new way of doing things now. The Messiah has come. He has suffered. He has been risen from the grave. And now there's a new sheriff in town. And it's no longer shame and guilt is your sheriff. Instead, you will have such an intimate relationship with God, it will be like a husband and wife. That's how close you can get to God. This flies in the face of so many religions. It just does. God is distant and difficult to please, according to most religions. I heard the most interesting quote this week. I think it was Steve Backlund or Paul Manwaring, one of them, who said this. He said, what if you're serving the one true God, but you have the wrong view of him? What if you're serving the right God, but you see him so skewed in your perspective that you're not living out his space the way that he dreams of you living it out. Wow. That's one to chew on for a while. I know. I can tell you're thinking about it because you're going, wow, I need to think about that to understand it really. It's a hard one, but it's a good one. Yeah, I'm going to say something really radical now. Might want to turn off the recorder for this one. I don't know. Edit this one out. What if the Muslim people saying that's the case, I don't know. I'm not God. But what if they just misunderstand him to such a degree that they're walking out their faith in a different way? I don't know. I don't know what they believe well enough to speak to it, but it did make me think. You know, it made me think. Now, don't go out of here saying, Pastor Sandy, don't misquote me, please. But what if they don't understand his space and they think he's still all about punishment and anger? No, what if that's how they see him? Then what they're doing, Paul the apostle, look at how he served God. He was serving the right God, but he had the wrong view of him. So that led him to go and kill people. That's what he did. Remember Stephen, the whole story we talked about a couple weeks ago? That's what he did. What if that's the case? I could camp there for a while, but I'm not going to. Just tickle your brain with that one. For the Lord, the Creator, will be your husband, the Lord of heaven's armies in his name. He is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth. For the Lord has called you back from your grief. Now imagine he's saying this to the church. The Lord has called you back from your grief. Because by the time this was written, most people who followed Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim, most people who followed him knew that they were failing miserably. Because they would go through cycles of trying to please him and then messing up and then trying to hide from him. And then figuring it out, and then coming back in repentance, and then trying to do the right thing, and then at some point messing up, and then hiding from him again. It was just the whole entire Old Testament is one circle of that. That's what it is, right? So they knew, they were like, ah, we're grieving. David said, I'm dust. I'm a mess. That's what he said. For the Lord has called you back from your grief, as though you were a young wife abandoned by her husband, says your God. For a brief moment, I abandoned you. Now that one bothered me, because I don't like the thought of God abandoning me, right? That doesn't fit with how I see God, my view of him. So I looked it up. You know what abandoned means? It means I left you to yourself. Now, one of my kids was super independent. He wanted to do everything myself. He would say, myself. Myself, mommy, myself. And he longed to tie his shoes before his fingers could possibly know how to do it. Right? Oh, and he would get so upset because he would try to tie his shoes, and I would try to help him, and he would say, self, mommy, myself. And so I would leave him to himself, abandon him, until he could figure out that he couldn't figure it out. And then he would say, Mom, could we maybe mute that? That's all right. You got to figure it out, right, Kathy? So he would say, okay, mommy, I need help. And I would come over and help him tie his shoes. Now, he did eventually figure it out. Glory be to God. I wondered, you know. I'm like, is he going to be going to school when he's in junior high? Mom, come tie my shoe after PE. I worried because his fingers just couldn't manage it somehow. He was a smart kid, but it was a hard concept. I tried every trick. Don't send me to Pinterest. Tried every trick. Tried every trick. But you see, I think God, when he says, for a brief moment, I abandon you, what he's saying is, I left you to yourself to figure out that you couldn't figure it out. I left you to yourself just for a minute. Then he says, but with great compassion, I will take you back. In a burst of anger, I turned my face away for a little while. Verse 8, we're on now. But with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. Oh. In a burst of anger, I turned my face away just for a short time, but then with everlasting love that keeps going and going and going and going, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord. Now, verse 9 is pretty huge because we still see God in the anger phase, even though that was only for a moment. We still see him as angry somehow. He's mad. I don't know what made him mad. It's probably something I did, but I'm staying away from him. I don't want to go to church because every time I feel go to church, I feel guilty because I know God is mad at me. That is an incorrect view of God. Look at verse 9. Just as I swore in the time of Noah that I would never again let a flood cover the earth, so now I swear that I will never again be angry and punish you. Oh my goodness. Oh, there's a new sheriff in town. It's not about anger anymore. It's about, as long as you believe in Jesus Christ and follow him, it's about unending compassion and love. God is not mad at you. He is not in a bad mood. He is in a good mood. Because Jesus changed everything. From the time that Jesus died and rose again, every punishment was satisfied right there. It was taken care of. So we don't have to punish ourselves anymore. Did any of you see the like 3-minute clip from Andy Stanley on Facebook? It was so good. He was talking about these people who go around with these really super negative prophecies about God coming to punish nations and using the political system to punish America because we need it because we've been so bad. He goes, stop it. You're scaring the children. I laugh so hard. I'm like, he's right. Because God says right here, it's different now. The punishment and the anger has been fully satisfied, have been fully satisfied on the cross. And I promise you, I will never be angry again with you or punish you. Those aren't my words. Those are his words. What about Hebrews where it talks about God disciplining us? Yes, it does. Discipline is not anger and punishment. If that's the only tool in your discipline chest, there's a problem. Really, discipline is way more than that. And God, I believe in this passage, says, I'm putting away that tool now. I'm pulling out some different tools for your discipline. I love that. Can you tell I'm excited about it? Whew, that gets me excited. For the mountains may move, verse 10, and the hills disappear, but even then my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken. Did you get that? My covenant of blessing will never be broken. Oh my goodness, says the Lord who has mercy on you. There are so many quotable quotes in this chapter that you could use it forever, for the rest of your life, and it would still get good. It would still be good every time. Verse 11, oh storm-battered cities, talking to the church, remember. Oh storm-battered city, troubled and desolate, I will rebuild you with precious jewels and make your foundations from lapis lazuli. I will make your towers of sparkling rubies, your gates of shining gems, and your walls of precious stones. I love this one too. I will teach all of your children. He promises to teach our children. He promises to teach our children. And they will enjoy great peace. You will be secure under a government that is just and fair. Now, when you read that, don't think Republicans and Democrats. That's not what he was talking about. He was not talking about human governmental systems. He was saying, my government is going to so overtake, not in a way, it's gonna diminish every human government system. It's going to show how weak and fallible every human government system is, because my government system is so fantastic. You will be secure under a government that is just and fair. Your enemies will stay far away. You will live in peace, and terror will not come near you. If any nation comes to fight you, it's not because I sent them. Whoever attacks you will go down in defeat. I have created the blacksmith who fans the coals beneath the forge and makes the weapons of destruction, and I have created the armies that destroy. But in that coming day, in this coming day we live in right now, as soon as Jesus died on the cross and rose again, we're in that coming day. From then until Jesus comes back, we're in that coming day. In that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits, some translations say this inheritance, is enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. Wow, he's got good space, huh? That's good space to crawl into right there. You think about that and how powerful that is. And then what I love, it goes into Dave. I'm sorry, Dave's not here. He's probably with his wife celebrating Mother's Day, which that's good, because he was here earlier. He probably just left early. This is his favorite verse, though. 55, verse 1. You've heard him preach on it many times. Ho! This chapter doesn't say it. This translation doesn't say it. But the NIV, I think it is, says it. It says, ho, right? And he loves that. And I cringe a little bit when I hear it, because I live with teenagers, and that word means something very different to teenagers, right? And so I'm going to change it to what it would be today. Woo-hoo! That got loud, didn't it? That was fun. Woo-hoo! It's hard to be quiet when you have a microphone right there. It's an interjection. When I taught grammar many years ago, whenever I would teach interjections, that was the easiest thing to teach in the parts of speech, because I would sing that interjection. See, Johnny was there. Interjection. And it basically means, you know, an exclamation of surprise, enthusiasm. So when the scripture says, ho, it means woo-hoo, because of God's space that he describes in chapter 54. Woo-hoo. Chapter 55, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink, even if you have no money. Come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Nothing free in life. Well, there is here. Woo-hoo. You don't have to buy an answer to a prayer request. What a concept. Whew, we could go there for a while too, couldn't we? Verse 2, why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. That's his space right there. We're going to skip down to, I don't know, it's so hard. These verses are so good. Let's go to verse 12. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Where there were once thorns, cypress trees will grow. Is there any place in your life where there are thorns? God promises right here that he will take those thorns out and put cypress trees in their place. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of his power and love. Do you see that we get the opportunity when we crawl into God's space and let his space be our space? We get to be living testaments of how great he is. Every mistake I've ever made can be redeemed. Every harm that's been done against me can be redeemed. Every place I feel lonely can be filled. Every heartbreak I've ever had can be healed. We get to be living testaments of how good he is. That is so powerful. And I long to live in his space in such a way that people go, wow, God must be good. God must be good.